14, we're talking about the Elk General Seasons WAC and the Elk Special Permits WAC. Show you the same kind of graphic that what we showed you on the last agenda item. This is the elk harvest for 2001 through 2015. It was a fairly average year for elk harvest. Didn't repeat our best recent year of 2012, where we broke 9,000 animals, more in the 8,000 range with special permits and general season combined. You see on the right there, not quite, it's a little cut off, but overall 2015 success rate for all weapons, all users, for elk hunting was 11.4%, which is a tiny bit better than our long-term average. Hunter numbers in the last 15 years, in 2015, very, very similar to what we've seen in the past. It's actually a fairly stable number. The really interesting thing about this is you ever get a little free time and you look at our harvest information that's posted on the website. We post both, when you look at the elk harvest data, we post both the number of elk tags sold and the number of elk hunters that actually go afield. And there's quite a bit of difference in those two numbers. And this is the number for the hunters that actually went afield. Okay, so as far as status is concerned, Yakima herd is slightly above objective, but not much, just a hair. You're seeing the same up and down adjustments on the bull permits through the permit allocation process. Most of the shifting on the antlerless special permits is geographic. Some GMUs going down a little bit, other GMUs going up, just in response to known subpopulations and subherds. The Clawkin population likely looking above objective again this year, but the surveys are actually happening right now. They probably happened today and tomorrow, so we'll have better numbers on that when we come to you at the April meeting. We do see we are recommending an increase in the bull special permits. Couple of reasons for that. Number one is that, if you'll recall, we've had a Clawkin bull study going on the last three or so years. That's always been a population where some of our bulls aren't being counted in the traditional surveys because there are mystery bulls and they hang out somewhere else in places where we're not surveying. So put a bunch of radio collars on animals to see where they're going. We have all of the field reports and hunter reports. We're confirming that there are more bulls out there than we're able to count on traditional winter range just because they're not being cooperative. And so we know we have more bulls out there, so we're going to offer that additional opportunity. But in addition to that, we still have radio-collared animals out there, and so we want to do a little experiment to see how increasing the opportunity affects overall survival on the animals that we do have radio-collared. So kind of a two-part management objective there. Our antlerless special permits, we'll be taking another look at those after we get the survey results in from the next few days and probably circle back with those and refine those numbers a little bit more. Blue Mountains, things are looking really good there. We've got partial surveys completed, but then we got weathered out and now we're trying to finish those up. The normal adjustments on permit allocation for bull permits. Mount St. Helens, the core GMUs that we routinely fly, the five core GMUs, we're at objective there now. We were really aggressive a few years ago. We've got that population down where we want it to be and it's staying there, and we only have a couple of bull special permits. Most of that is general season three-point or better bulls, and you'll see a little adjustment there through the permit allocation. Nooksack, we're still waiting for those surveys to be completed, but we're still going to be going with status quo on the special permits. Olympic, we use harvest data, no changes there. The Willapa Hills, those surveys will be completed soon, before the April meeting. No expected changes there. In the Selkirk, we are adjusting the general season, and that's one area where we use harvest data to make our management decisions. We are going to recommending adjusting the general season in GMU 204, and I'll talk about that a little bit more, but we're trying to make that consistent with the neighboring GMU 101 and be consistent with the Selkirk elk herd management plan. North Rainier status quo, South Rainier status quo, and those are also populations where we, right now, our best information is harvest data.
Sure.
Yes, sir.
The director and I were at a meeting recently, and the Skagit herd came up. Any insight? It was the ag herd interface. So, anything that we should know about that?
Yeah, myself and our wildlife conflict section manager Stephanie Simic went up last Thursday and met with those landowners, probably several of the same landowners.
Probably.
Took a tour around with those folks. We hadn't done that in about 3 years. Got to get a better handle on all of the challenges that they're dealing with up there with elk damage. And our elk that have decided that they're going to become resident elk on the valley floor and really not move out of there. Those folks really do have some serious issues that we've got to help them deal with, and we are. You probably saw some of the fencing projects that our private lands and wildlife conflict folks are dealing with, doing a great job up there. But we know we need to do more, and we're working on developing those plans as we speak, as recent as the last couple of days, and then additional meetings next week. And so we recognize that we definitely have a problem up there, and we've got to use every tool that's available to us to try to get a handle on that. But as it currently sits, it's not a workable situation. We've got to do the best we can to try to give those folks some relief.
Yeah, the correspondence has been very proactive on the department's behalf, and I appreciate the effort that you're taking. So, thank you.
So, general seasons, WAC 232, 28 through 58. Again, it's the second year of a three-year package. Minor changes only being recommended. We are proposing making the archery and muzzleloader seasons in GMU 204 the same as the neighboring GMU 101. This is a result of also meeting with some landowners and maintaining a consistency with how we've written the Selkirk elk herd management plan, but also trying to work better with the landowners that are up there that work and operate in 204. And so this change addresses some of those concerns that regional staff heard from those folks. And so we like the consistency. It still is consistent with our management mission on that elk population, and making the landowners happy as well. And so, and we hope some of the hunters. So general season questions, if none, I will move on to special permits.
Take it.
Okay. We can always circle back if something comes to you. So elk special permits, 232, 28, 360. As always, the quality and the bull permits are annually adjusted using the special permit allocation formula. Talked about that already. Increasing the Clockham quality permits. Talked about that already. We have more bulls on the landscape, and we're doing an experiment to see how that influences mature bull survival. The Yakima antlerless permits adjusted by location. I mentioned that already. The net change is nominal. And then our Clockham antlerless permits will still have to be reassessed after we complete those aerial surveys in the next few days and come back to you in April with those. And so that's really it for special permits. Not a lot of complicated changes there.
Thank you, Jerry. Any other questions? No. Thank you. We do have a couple folks that want to come up. So, Ernst, one more time.
Tired
of hearing from you. No. And John?
No.
I just can't wait to see what's in the bag this time, though. You can't tease us. No.
Howdy, I'm Ernst once again. When it comes to permits, I think I've got about three different topics. I'm hoping I submitted individuals for each.
Yeah, you did. Yeah.
Okay, so you want me to come up? You want me to address them all at once, or?
Just hit them all.
Okay.
Give them a minute each.
Yeah. I'll try. You heard how long-winded I was last time. Okay, let's start off with quality elk permits. For archers, it doesn't make a bit of sense that we have to draw or put in for quality elk permits in units where modern rifle gets to draw bull tags at half the rate. We're paying twice as much to hunt the same bulls. Somebody please explain that to me. Okay, I guess we'll leave it as a question that nobody can answer.
It's not a Q&A.
Okay, so anyway, it's a concern.
You have your 3 minutes.
Okay, I'm working it. All right, so let's see. Next item is the antlerless tags. In units that we have a surplus of antlerless elk and we want to remove that population, archery has been the typical method of doing that because they have a pretty consistent level of success. You can determine how many elk are going to be taken in an archery season. It doesn't make sense to me that we are opening units issuing cow tags or antlerless tags by a drawing process when those units haven't been opened to archers. Archers have been, when it comes to elk hunting, they're getting horned into very few units, and there's lots and lots of stiff competition, lots of hunters in real close proximity, and for archery that is not a good combination. Last item, disabled access permits. If you haven't noticed, I qualify as a disabled hunter. I've registered as a disabled hunter, and I have one of those wonderful placards. It has sat in an envelope for the last 15 years because the reason I got involved with it was the road access program. I helped select and design or choose some of the disabled access areas in the Natchez Ranger District. I was part of that, worked with Pete Forbes when that got going in one of those units. Do I get another 2 minutes for my next topic? Okay. Anyway, my point is this, because this is the big one, is it doesn't make any sense at all for a disabled hunter to draw for a permit and get issued to themselves. They cannot process elk and haul this thing out by themselves. You need to issue those permits in pairs for the disabled hunter and that hunter companion. You cannot get people to help the disabled folks unless you give them some kind of incentive. I haven't used it mine in 15 years. I use the same hunting equipment that's open to anybody else in this room. And it's because you can't get the help.
Ernst, you raised a point that I think we can take action on.
Cool.
Not right, but I encourage you, as you said, go across the street, talk to Sam Taylor, and I'd be happy to work with you because the issue you just raised is exactly what the ADA Advisory Committee to us should do.
Exactly.
So you do that, and you tell Sam, I asked you to go over and knock on his door, and then I'll follow up with him.
I'll run it through the proper channel.
Run it through. Well, that's the avenue, and we'll do this.
Okay.
Yep. John, it's you again.
Here I am again. After all these years. What I failed or neglected to say is that I agree with what I'm going to call again the unscientific assessment of the numbers and the aggressive presence of predators in Northeast Washington. That's where I came from today. And when dovetailed together with all of these catastrophic wildfires, the available forage and habitat for the ungulates to have escape cover and food is diminished. So they tend to move down toward the fields and the farms, and the predators follow them. So I don't have any numbers, but I think that everybody in that area that's living in the rural country can attest to predators are a problem. So I failed to say that, but I agree with that. Okay, back to elk. On my sheet for my comments, I'm asking that there be increased opportunity for youth and disabled hunters for elk, and that there be some clarification in the spike designation issue. I do recall the first few years after spike only season, talking with one of the commissioners about why that was spread from the Blue Mountains to the Yakima and the Clackamas herd, and the biological justification for that was, well, we didn't get any complaints. And so I know there isn't any biological justification in that response. So I am hoping that this spike-only issue can gradually be worked away, and especially the term true spike. Being in the woods, when elk come through, I mean, you really got to be able to look, get a good look at an elk antler to see if it's a true spike. I mean, especially for people that hunt with muzzleloaders, they can't use telescopic sights or anything. So I've never seen it, don't know that it's happening, but it may be that a lot of wounded game is left, or game that has been shot inadvertently is left in the field. Unfortunately, that's kind of collateral damage to the true spike designation.
Thank you, John.
Looking forward to the future for the youth.
I think we're all on the same page with you on that. That's, the future is where we should be thinking about. Well, thank you all again for your public input, and we'll move on to item